You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
Look at the scripture in Luke 24, verses 44 and 45. Then he told them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Let's pray together. Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our hearts to his. He hears from us. We meet to do this, actually. And not only that, but to give thanks for the work of Christ, his sacrifice, the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection today. And to give thanks for the gift of his Son. We also take a moment to pray for other people who overlap into our life. Many are grieving and suffering. Some are handling seasonal illnesses. Some are handling diagnoses of disease. Some are handling injuries to their body. Some are carrying emotional wounds that are heavy. Some are needing spiritual direction. Some need financial guidance. Some need Christian friends who tell them the truth in their life. Some need to be saved. Take a moment and pray for these people. Lift them up to our Heavenly Father. We also pray for the nations. We're called to the nations. We do pray for peace, but I really, and don't ever quit doing that, but we pray for the churches in these areas of unrest throughout our world where there's war. The pastors in the churches are still carrying on the mission of the church. It's not conditional. So pray for these churches in all these areas, Ukraine, Russia, the Middle East, Gaza. There's pastors and Christian churches there that are still trying to present the gospel and see this as an opportunity to do so even greater. Lift them up in the midst of not only war, but persecution to them. And pray for our nation. We all know what happened during the night last night or the evening. Pray for our nation, pray for our state, pray for our leaders. Just God's revelation into them, the Daniels of this world and our nation, be able to speak into their lives, even the Nathans to like the King David. Just we pray for that. We ask you pray a blessing over all those who are around you today. Pray for your family, a blessing over them wherever they may be if they're not with you today. Pray for your church, the offering that was just taken either electronically or you brought to the storehouse. We use that to advance the gospel and his kingdom. And there's a greater offering here today. You know we always go there, and that's you. In the words of Isaiah, "Lord, send us, send me." Is our prayer. Help me to be a plain preacher today, Lord, so plain a child would understand. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, you look at all of us today. You see me differently. I'm your teacher and your preacher. On me is a greater, a more strict judgment than anybody in the room. And I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. If you saw me walk a little slowly and you see me leaning a little bit, it's because I'm 65 going on 66. And we have this faucet in the backyard that's just about that far off the ground. And I was trying to hook a hose up to it, which here's the part of today's sermon. If you build a house, make sure the faucets are well off the ground, okay? So it's twisted my back a little bit. And Chuck was overseeing me, and he's like, are you going to need the chair? And I was like, no, I'm fine. So I'm going to be really leaning on this pulpit a little bit. So you go, well, Preacher Jeff, Pastor Jeff, he was leaning a little bit today. Well, I am leaning a little bit. And I know you're thinking short sermon, but ain't going to happen, okay? I just want you to know. It's not going to happen. I bet you really do mean that. It takes more than that to convince me about that. I've been staying in Luke 24, not really intentionally, because we were there Easter. We've been there through the Easter season. And then a little on beyond with the guys on the Emmaus Road where the Lord appeared to them after the resurrection. I call them the Emmaus boys, they went to meet the 11. Remember, Judas is not with them, so it's not the 12 anymore. It's the 11. And so the Emmaus boys and the 11 disciples are together, and the Lord is there with them. And there's just a lot of richness in this continual passage in Luke 24. And I didn't initially intend to be there, but we're going to stay here for a while. I want you to look at Luke 24, 41 through 30, 43 for a moment. And I want to just read it to you because I want you to handle the scripture. But while they were still amazed and unbelieving because of their joy, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? What a strange question. So I'm going to go off track on the sermon here and go, this is proof that he's Baptist, that Jesus is Baptist, okay? But it's a really strange question coming from the Son of God, right? Do you have anything here to eat? And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. I read a guy named Trent Butler, and Trent has got a whole theme in Luke 24 that the disciples were amazed that Jesus has been raised from the dead. But he thinks they shouldn't have been, which is what we handled last Sunday, meaning the surprise shouldn't be surprised because he's told us, right? He's told us. And he has taught this all along. So Trip Butler stays in this theme, and that is that they shouldn't be that surprised. But again, it's emphasized in verse 41. They're stunned. They're still stunned by the resurrection appearance of Jesus. And both of these things are happening. They're amazed and they're doubting, kind of in the same light. Like you're like, can these two things go on together at the same time? Well, the answer is yes. Not only do we have a scripture, Julie had a childhood friend pass away. Her name was Mindy. And not only were they childhood friends, high school friends, lifelong friends, have really walked through them in some very difficult times of their life. And Julie has, and then we have after we were married in ministry. And her funeral was Friday. And we are saddened and we celebrate, you know, at the same time. So those two emotions can go together. And really a good thing, Julie still meets with her high school friends, and they see each other through the year together, so which is really rich and great. But you've got, I'm stunned and I'm doubting, all in the same situation. And yes, they can go on that way. And he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? Which is strange, but I like it. Here's why I like it. It shows his humanity. And at the same time, he's a resurrected Jesus showing his divinity. So his humanity and his divinity are right there together. Some people will try to describe God as 50%, or Jesus as 50% God and 50% man. Don't do that. He's 100% God and 100% man. All right, it becomes a picture of his humanity and his divinity blending together. But in the theme of Trent Butler, should we be surprised when he keeps his promise? Or should we be in a level of maturity? And you're going, well, hey, preacher, I'm not the disciples. You know, well, some of us have walked with Jesus longer than they had at that time. Shouldn't you and I be able to recognize the things of God? Shouldn't we be able to recognize the fulfillment of a promise that he gives to us? But he's teaching them that he fulfills his promise. He's teaching that to us through the scripture, that he takes care of fulfilling all of his promises. The words of Joshua are, we know now that the promises of God are true. Look at Luke 24:44 for just a moment. He told them, these are my words I spoke to you while I was still with you. This is an I still with you statement, which means the historical Jesus and the resurrected Jesus are the same Jesus. That's really what that line means. We're the same person. That everything written about me in the law, Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, which is all they had then. He's not leaving anything out there, because all they had was the law, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. You have the prophets, you have the Psalms. And he says they must be fulfilled. It's just an I'm still with you. I'm still fulfilling the promises that are there in Scripture. And we're going to see this is very important to our focus today, because we're going to see how Scripture is confirmation, and that even Scripture itself is really supernatural in what it does in our life. Look at verse 45, very simple verse here. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. You have to ask this question, is this necessary? Does he really need to open our minds to understand the Scriptures? Because you and I go, well, what about my education? What about my intelligence? What about my ability to research now with information right at our fingertips, literally, and being able to navigate my study? Is it important that he, the Lord, open our minds to understand Scripture? Can't I just read other books? Can't I just do my reading and my research? The answer to all that is yes, you can. But let me give you a little bit of preacher advice, and you'll see it from Scripture. Begin with Scripture, read your books, do your navigation, do your research, do your study, and then end with Scripture. Let Scripture be the bookend of it, pun intended. Let it be the bookend of all that you do with everything that's in the middle. I'm trained academically at a very high level. I'm even trained with deep study and very critical study, and I have the resources all in line for me to be able to do that. But I still need help. And I need help in being able to understand the Scriptures. And the picture is, where do we get this help? It comes from the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going to get to in the whole crux of the sermon today, is that the Holy Spirit helps us understand the Word of God and how he sent that into our life. I want you to look at John 14:26 for just a moment. But the counselor, this is Jesus' teaching before anything happens to him, including the entry into Jerusalem, the betrayal, the cross, the resurrection, all this is all before that. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name and will teach you all things. And look at this, and remind you of everything I've told you. Look at the passage in John 16 for just a moment. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them all now. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, meaning the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me, which is what the Holy Spirit always does. He always is glorifying Christ, because he will take from what is mine and he'll declare it. He'll even present it to you. So the Spirit of truth is there to guide and inform us on the Scriptures. Let me give you hopefully a real practical way, even out of my life. I'm going to give you a couple of those today to maybe help you understand. But I was reading in Luke 16. I have a sermon on hell out of Luke 16. And I remember when I was given that great study years ago, and in Luke 16, it's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus is the beggar. And the rich man said he ate well every day. And so there is the beggar who is not craving the food that the rich man is eating. He's craving the crumbs that the rich man is eating. And Luke is a physician. Luke mentions in there that, and he's covered with sores. And I don't really know that that would have been necessary to the story, but Luke thought it was. And evidently the Holy Spirit thinks it is. So I was like, well, that's kind of strange. Then it gets stranger. It says that later on, the dogs come and lick his sores. And then I go from, well, that's just not strange, that's gross. That, why is that important or even imperative to the story? Why is that necessary? And I did my research, my navigation, my resources, never really got a complete answer other than Luke's a physician and he notices this, which all of us could come to that one. So I wrestled with it. I stayed with it. I let the scripture hang with me. And I remember one day, just out of clarity, I felt the Holy Spirit give me the answer to why he mentioned that he had sores, which is probably because he's a doctor. But then why go to the extreme of mention that a dog licked his sores? That one I did not understand. And the Holy Spirit was like, well, Jeff, it's simple. And I'm going, right. You know, yeah, right. And he's like, well, the reason he put it in there was because a human, the rich man eating, didn't pay attention to another human, but a dog paid attention to a human. And you're going, well, how's that happen? And I know that this is not our first step in medical practice, nor should it be, but the dog licking his sore was at least a little bit medicinal. Gross, but medicinal. And that's not our first step, and it shouldn't be our first step. Do you understand the picture there that I think the Holy Spirit gave me? And that is a human who is eating well did not pay attention to a human has nothing to eat, but a dog paid attention to a human and how jacked up that is. You all with me? So it came to, I could do all the navigation and the research and the study, and all it came back with was Luke put that in there because he's a physician. Get it? I totally understand that. But then the Holy Spirit opened it up to people should be taking care of people and dogs shouldn't be taking care of people, even though I love dogs. Okay? I love them. But you see my point? And that's how the Holy Spirit is helpful in getting us to be able to understand even the Word of God. And that didn't come immediately. There was a wrestling with the passage. But it eventually came to that. It helped me to see things a lot more clearly than I was able to see. Because there's some confusing things, just like I said in Scripture. But keep at it. Keep searching. Do your study, do your navigation, but don't skip this part. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand it. Ask Him to be able to come into your life because Scripture forms us, shapes us in the understanding of life, the kingdom, who our Lord is, the world. I mean, the Scripture becomes the lens in which we see everything. And it has authority over our life, including even in theology. It's called the authority of Scripture, just even that phrase. And Scripture's not just for hindsight being 20/20 and looking backwards, which we do need to see how God interacted with His people, but it's also a moving forward that we're asking the Holy Spirit to help us in Scripture for our foresight, for our next steps, for our journey, for wisdom on this road. So it's not just a look back, it's a pressing forward as well. And the Holy Spirit is our helper in more ways than you can imagine to be able to do that. I have an online resource study. It's pretty tons of volumes. But then I also have the hard copies, the printed copies. A.T. Robinson, his word pictures of the Greek New Testament, I don't know a preacher that doesn't use them. He's one of the greatest New Testament Greek scholars. He said this about Scripture. He said, to see the will of God and the way of God, you still need the Holy Spirit to understand them both. So look at verse 45 again. It's a simple verse. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Let me help you out, because I pray to be plain. If he had to do that with the 11 and the two on Emmaus and all their experiences with Jesus, then he has to do it with us. That open our minds, Lord, to understand the Scriptures. And how does that happen now? That happens through the Holy Spirit. That it's not just a natural thing to read the Scriptures, meaning you don't understand it always in the natural. You have to be able to understand it in the supernatural. Now, I'm a well-educated country boy, but I'm still a country boy and will always be. But let me help you understand the natural and the supernatural a little bit. As we are here in this room together, we have all kinds of genres of music zipping by our heads right now. You understand that. Only being picked up by certain radio frequencies, but they're buzzing all around you. I mean, this space right here is not clear, even though to me and you it looks clear. The loft up there is communicating with our stage, or you wouldn't be able to see the Scriptures. And our stage is communicating with the loft as we're sitting here. I mean, there are texts and emails, radio frequencies, all kinds of transmission going on around us. That blows my mind. I remember when things were done through cable. That blew my mind. I mean, through cable, let alone that the airwaves are going on. And to me, if we'll stop and think about it for a moment, that's incredibly supernatural. That this side of the church could text this side of the church and your words just, you know, and it's all around us. I remember the rumors when I was growing up that if you had braces, you could pick up a radio station in your mouth. Do some of you all remember that? That they could do the wiring on their braces and pick up a sound of radio waves, which we thought was the coolest thing and the most disruptive thing in a class that could go on, you know, when you're in high school. But it's amazing to me, is it not? That's really supernatural. But you know what? That's become very natural to me and you. It's crazy. All this stuff is buzzing around us as we sit here. And it's supernatural, really, but it's just really become natural. I think the same thing should happen with the Holy Spirit. He's supernatural, but we should know him well enough that he's part of our everyday life. That he just becomes part of the natural in our life. And God sent him for that. Jesus says, it's necessary for me to go so that you can have the Holy Spirit to guide you and to lead you and remind you and convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment, it says in John 16. I just want you to see that we see him as being supernatural, but he really should be really, really natural to us. Because there's a lot, to me, supernatural things going on around us, but we've accepted them as natural procedure in our life today. Julie and I recently went on Valentine's Day to eat at a place in Lexington. And I'm one of those guys that scope out where the parking should be and all that preview, you know, I do that. And so we had to pay with a QR code, and it was almost like the Clampett's going to Beverly Hills, you know. We figured it out, you know. But I mean, I'm used to a guy in a booth, you know, putting a slip of paper on your dashboard. And you are so used to a QR code that it's just really second nature to you. And to me and Julie, it's a stunner. We got to sit there and work. And we did, you know. She's proud of her husband, okay? She was proud of her husband. But we had to work it out. And I just want you to know, my prayer for us, and I say us, is that the Holy Spirit, as supernatural as he is, just becomes really natural to us, to you and to me, that it's just a normal part of our life. To show you how the Holy Spirit enlightens Scripture, I want you to look at 2 Peter 1, 16 and 21. You may want to jot this one down. A lot of people don't go to the writings of Simon Peter, but they're very rich. Let's walk through it for a moment. Peter wrote, "For we did not follow cleverly contrived myths." They didn't follow Jesus on a whim, okay? Made up junk. "When we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." They were there, absolutely there. They saw it all. Verse 17, "For when he received honor and glory from God the Father," now he's beginning to talk about being on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were up there with Jesus. Jesus has a glorified body. Moses and Elijah show up, have a conversation with Jesus. All supernatural. All of it supernatural. And this is what Simon Peter is talking about. "For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, a voice came to him from the majestic glory." And it describes at the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice that they heard, "This is my beloved son, I take delight in him, I'm well pleased." Verse 18, "And when we heard this voice, and when it came from heaven, while we were with him on the holy mountain," not Sinai, but Mount of Transfiguration. So go back to 18 for just a second, if you will. "Then we were with him on the holy mountain." Now go to 19, thank you. "That we have the prophetic word strongly confirmed." This is a key verse, right? This key line. "You will do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dismal place, a light to our path," as it says in the Psalms, "that the, as a light shining in a dismal place until the day dawns and really you have understanding and the morning star rises in your hearts." Keep it on verse 19 for just a moment. Now hang on a minute. If you don't look into this, you're gonna miss it. But he said they were eyewitnesses. And eyewitnessing ought to be great confirmation. But Simon Peter says, his word is greater confirmation than what I saw about who he is. You see that point? He said, we not only are eyewitnesses, but we also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed to us. That what's greater than being an eyewitness is his word. His word will always confirm who he is. You'll do well to pay attention to it, because it'll be a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path, which the psalmist has already written about, and then it'll bring understanding like the day dawning to you as well. Verse 20, "First of all, you should know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation. Verse 21, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were moved," there you go, "by the Holy Spirit." Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Deuteronomy all tell us that a prophet is false if it doesn't come true. That the way you know a prophet is true is that it happens. That it comes to light, it is confirmed. And we have people who will declare themselves prophets. This is just a point of study. Hebrews 1:1-2 says that the Lord said, "I used to speak through my prophets of old. Now I speak through my son." And I've got a question today. It's an intelligent question. It's not a where did it, you know, all of a sudden out of random question. But I don't know if anybody can declare themselves a prophet today. Because he says, I used to speak through my prophets, now I speak through my son. Now, does that mean people can't speak a word of prophecy? They can speak a word of prophecy because it's one of the gifts in the book of Corinthians. But then again, I teach a lot of young pastors, because somebody's always got a word for you. You know what I'm saying? And that's great. The only thing I can say to that when somebody has a word for me is we'll see. You know, I don't live on it or die on it. I just go, okay, we'll find out if you're true or not. But if it comes true, then it was the word of God. And then you have to watch how that happens and how that interacts. But here's what Peter is saying. He's going, prophecy doesn't come from man. It doesn't generate with man or start with man. It's not the product of the prophet. It is the product of God. And that if it comes true, then we know that there's confirmation there. And Peter goes on to write, they're not just eyewitnesses, which is great, but they still stand up on his word as confirmation as to what's going to happen. So we look at God's word. We're always, it'll confirm. Now, I'm going to give you a story out of my life. I have a side ministry that some of you all know about. Many of you don't. It's called Rev Outdoors. And I'll go Georgia and North Carolina and Tennessee, and I haven't been to Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Kentucky, and I do game suppers, and I try to teach some calls sometimes on all that and handle, but then I have a time of preaching involved in it. So I've used this a lot, and I've had a lot of men respond to me of how helpful it was. So I'm going to give you one of those little sermonettes that I have, and let you see how the natural and the supernatural come together, and then there's God's revelation, and then there's confirmation with his word just out of my life. But many of you all know I love to turkey hunt. I love to get out there when I hear them. And Julie and I had this conversation yesterday. There's a guy that we used to have tickets to some football games, and a guy from Hazard sits behind us. His name's Chuck Davidson, and Chuck and I have become good friends, and he drives all over Kentucky, and he says he listens to my sermon and runs all the time. And I said, well, God bless you. I don't know what, you know, that's your punishment from the Lord, you know, to do that. And he goes, you said something the other day that stuck with me. And he goes, you said you don't know how many more turkey seasons you have left. I just know that I have fewer than I used to have. And Julie and I talked about that yesterday, even in light of Mindy's funeral Friday. So one day I was turkey hunting, and I'm a gadget freak. You just got to know that. My family will tell you that when I do something, I do it all and throw in the kitchen sink with it. It's the way I prepare and preview and all that stuff. So I have every call known to man that affects a wild turkey, the bird, not the drink. So my turkey vest weighs 22 pounds. I have calls tucked into every pocket and zipper you can find in that turkey vest. And let me remind you, a turkey hunter's vest ought not weigh 22 pounds. But I've got everything you can imagine. And I know how to use them. One day I was turkey hunting about the mid-morning. The woods were dead. If you're a turkey hunter, you know what I'm talking about. Nothing's happened. No, not even the songbirds. Everything was just kind of shut down. And I was sitting at the base of a tree, and I looked around me, and I had every call in my vest laying out there. I had box calls, the high-pitched and the raspy, two different kinds. I had slate calls, aluminum calls, glass calls. I had all those. I had mouth calls. I had tube calls. I had a crow call to shot gobble. I had an old owl call to make them shot gobble. I was throwing everything I had at these birds, from raspy to light to double reed to three reed to four reed calls to everything you can think of. I had it all, and I didn't want to put it all back up because, you know, I may strike a bird. But I'm sitting there, and they're everywhere. And I couldn't believe what I had laying around me. And I was like, man, I can't believe I've got all that in my vest. But I knew, I know exactly where all of them go. May not be organized in a whole lot of my life, but when it comes to my turkey vest, I'm organized. And I felt the Holy Spirit say something to me at the base of that tree. And I was going, Lord, I'm turkey hunting. We'll pick that up during devotion time. You know, leave me alone. So the Holy Spirit was like, you know that everything you do is fake, right? And I was like, yeah. I mean, I'm not a hen. I'm not a gobbler. I'm not a crow. I'm not an owl. You know, I'm none of the, my decoys are even false. They're made of plastic. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me there that what the enemy does to us is exactly how I hunt the wild turkey. It's all deception. Decoys are deception. Calls are deception. And listen, I'm not hunting that wild turkey to pet him on the head when he comes in. I'm hunting that bird to harvest him. And that's exactly what the enemy does to us. He deceives us not to pet us on the head and say, look, I called you in. He deceives us to harvest us. All this revelation is going on at the base of this tree with all my turkey calls spread around me, thickly spread around me. And I just want you to know that that revelation there, I could have stopped there. And you and I could both say, hey man, it's great to have the Holy Spirit do that, because that's just a shortcut to understanding the Word of God. Let me help you out here. I didn't stop with the revelation. I took that revelation to the Word of God, and it went to John 8:44, where Jesus is teaching about the Pharisees. And he's saying, you are of your father, the devil. You're a murderer from the beginning. And when he, Satan, speaks, he lies, because he's the father of lies. And that revelation at the base of that tree with all those calls spread out around me, that was a great revelation. But I took that revelation and I had it confirmed. Are you listening to me? I had it confirmed in the Word of God, that I'm deceiving that old bird out there just like the enemy is deceiving me. I'm using the same tactics, the same ploy, the same methods to harvest him. Now, there's nothing wrong with me hunting like that, but he just revealed to me that's the way Satan hunts you. And the way he's doing it, Jeff, is he's lying to you. And here are the areas of your life that you're believing his lies. So I want you to know, don't stop with the revelation. Don't just stop with a dream. Because some people will get up and preach their dreams. Don't preach the dream. Get that and confirm it to the Word of God to see if it matches. And I was able to lay that foundation of revelation with the confirmation of His Word, and it's become a strong foundation in my life and ministry. Because as I try to figure out how to hunt that old bird, I realize how the enemy is trying to figure out to hunt me. And then it's confirmed in his word that he's a murderer from the beginning. He's a harvester from the beginning. And he's referring not to Cain and Abel. He's referring to Adam and Eve. Because when Eve did that and Adam let her, it brought death into the garden. And it's considered the first murder, not Cain and Abel. You all with me? You all there? You're not getting a short sermon today. And yes, I'm still leaning. All right? This is deeply enriched in my heart. So I just want you to see that, don't just get the revelation and go, hey man, the Holy Spirit's a shortcut. Well, the Holy Spirit is the key to understanding. But make sure it's confirmed in the Word of God. And that's where Peter writes, I'm an eyewitness. I'm an eyewitness. Man, you and I should go, that's enough. But he said, the scriptures are more confirmation about who he is than what I've been able to see with my eyes. Let me remind you, Jesus says, blessed are those who have seen me and believed me. Do you know the rest of that? But more blessed are you who believe and have never seen me. You and I are going, man, seeing Jesus, man, that would be it. He's going, no, more blessed are you who believe in the reality and know me than those who have. You and I would put those who have as being greater. Jesus doesn't teach that. Those of you who have believed in him solidly and never had the revelation that other people had, he said, are more blessed. Are y'all getting this today? You're looking at me strange. So we need help. You're not just going to understand scripture in the natural. You're going to need the supernatural. That's twice in Luke 24 where he said he opened their eyes to the scriptures. And if he needs to open their eyes to the scriptures, he needs to open ours. And he sent the Holy Spirit to be able to do that in our life. And I want you to be able to see that. That the Holy Spirit is so supernatural, but to me and you, it should be like living in the natural. So his Son and his Word bring life to us, abundant life, eternal life, kingdom life. Everything written about him, and at that time it was the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, point to him. All of it points to him. And the Holy Spirit points to him. And I want to encourage you to let him, the Holy Spirit of God, open our hearts and minds and lives to the understanding of his word, his presence, his Holy Spirit. You know, we pray the PACE prayer. We're not going to pray that today, but we do the A, you know, where which means accept, and we put our hands in the form of a bowl, an empty bowl, and we receive all that he has to give us. Well, that's what we do here. That's what we do here. We all that we receive from him. I do want you in his presence, and being in his word is being in his presence. I believe being at the Lord's table and communion is being in his presence, because he says for us to remember him there when we go there. I believe it's all about being in his presence, but today we're able to be in his word as well. So will he give you, will he speak to you even in your dreams? Yeah, he's done that in the past. Will he speak to you and give you revelation? I don't think you have to run out to a tree in the woods and sit there like you're turkey hunting for it to happen. I believe he gives you revelation. All I'm telling you is don't stop there. Bring all that back and confirm it into the word of God. And I'm telling you, it'll put your feet on solid ground. And there'll be a firm confirmation in your life that he will fulfill his promises. Why did he need to teach them about the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms? Why did he need to connect the dots with them? Why couldn't his presence just been enough? Because he wanted to see that everything from God points to him, whether it's the law or the prophets or it's the Psalms. To me and you now, it's even to the New Testament, the epistles of Paul and of John and of Jude and of James and of Peter. And it just continues. It's all confirmation for him. So I pray that the supernatural things of God just become natural to you. And that when you encounter his word and there's something that's a head scratcher, like the dog licked his sores, then ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight to that and wrestle with it. It's not going to be a McDonald's drive-through, okay? You have to wrestle with it and spend time with it, but he'll interpret it for us. He's given us a helper. And let's ask for his help so that he'll open our understanding to the scriptures, and they all point to him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. Lord, we all need understanding no matter how long we've walked with you. Lord, with these 11 disciples, we would put them on a pedestal, but yet you had to open their eyes to scripture. the two on Emmaus had a great revelation of you being with them, but you still had to open their minds to the understanding of your word. And Lord, there's a lot of sharp people in this room, intelligent people, creative people, intuitive people. But Lord, we look for your revelation in our lives because you says you manifest yourself to us. But Lord, we want to bring those experiences and see even the confirmation of that in your word, which just becomes a double strong foundation. And we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the word that you've given us. Sometimes we ask for a new word and we haven't even attempted to do the one you've already given us. But Father, we just ask for understanding and help. And we know that you've given us that through your Holy Spirit. He's our comforter and our helper. I just pray we rely on him. Lord, thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. And thanks for not leaving things undone. That even in your lordship, you want us to understand you deeper, and we can. And I just pray we will. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. We pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you find your place? The invitation is for you to come be prayed for, with, or prayed over. It could be you're going through some sickness or difficulty and you need people to pray with you. Please respond to that. And then not only that, we give the invitation that whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Team's going to lead us. You come. You respond.